This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship. Whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream, I'm glad to be with you and know that the Spirit of Christ connects us this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome those who are visiting with us this morning. If this is your first time, we welcome you and we hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place. If you are looking for a place to call your church home, we invite you to let us know that. I invite everyone to sign in on the registration pads that are at the end of each pew or to sign in through the link on the live stream. And if you're interested in learning more about our congregation, if you could share an email address or a mailing address or phone number with us, we'll be sure and reach out to you and let you know some of the ways we're trying to live out God's love in our community. There are several announcements in the bulletin. I want to make sure and draw your attention there for information about our plastic-free July shopping this afternoon, how to get tickets to the Sounds game. We're all going as a church family on Tuesday of this week, and it's not too late to get your tickets. And also a little bit of information about our gathering downstairs during the Sunday school hour today. We are having table talk down in the fellowship hall, some structured conversation around our faith, and it's a great way to get to know new people. And we're all hungry for fellowship and relationship in these days. So we invite you to come downstairs right after this service and join us for that. Next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, we will have a sort of summer town hall, a gathering just to catch up on some of the ministries that we've experienced this summer, an update on annual conference, an update on our Project Thrive work. So we invite you to come to the Fourth Story Theater during Sunday school next week to hear more about that and participate in that time. There's also information about children's choirs. They're starting back up on August 24th. Rehearsals will be on Wednesday nights for kids ages 3 through 6th grade. And our youth choir will rehearse on Sunday afternoons before small groups. So to register, you can go to our website /children's choirs. So we're starting to get hints of the fall and all of the exciting new ministries that are reemerging as we live into that season. As we do that, we gather for worship, we gather for prayer, and today we gather at Jesus' feet to hear what he has to teach us about prayer. So let us open our lives, our hearts, to his teachings this morning as we worship.
As we gather for worship, may we learn to pray. As we gather for worship, may we learn to pray. As we gather for worship, may we learn to pray. As we gather for worship, let us seek the one who hears our prayers. When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms ready to receive us. So let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. Gracious God, we confess that we do not always know how to pray. We are hesitant to trust in you. We are impatient as we wait on you. We seek transaction rather than relationship with you. Forgive us, Holy One. Remind us that when we knock, you open wide the door to your heart. Help us to respond by opening our hearts to you, that we might receive the Holy Spirit through the grace of Jesus Christ. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may do that in whatever way is most comfortable for you if you're in the sanctuary. And if you're online, you might send a message in a chat or say hello to somebody that is worshiping with you. The peace of Christ be with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, John Mason and Alex May bring their daughter to God before this community of faith for baptism. And so I ask, tell you, my family in Christ, that it is through the sacrament of baptism that we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. John and Alex, I ask you now these ancient questions of the faith on behalf of the whole church. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism, in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
And what name have you given your daughter?
Skylar Tenney Mason.
Skylar Tenney, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who works within you and gives you peace. And now we're going to ask Mommy and Daddy and Pastor Brandon to place a hand on you. And all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Skylar Tenney, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, Skylar, you want to take a walk with me? It's been a long time since we've been able to do this. And we want to give you a chance to see your church family a little bit closer. And I think they want to see your beautiful face a little closer, too. Because in just a minute, they're going to make some promises to you to help you understand how much God loves you and to show you what it looks like to live a faithful life. And so we're going to listen as they make this promise to you.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Skylar Tenney? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Skylar Tenney to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
For all that God has already given you, Skylar Tenney, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination.
Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not give up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
With all of the children who are worshiping today, if you're here in the sanctuary and want to come join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. Welcome, welcome. What a great turnout today. There's Ava. Good morning. Hey there. Welcome, welcome. So glad to see you all. I was out of town last week, so I missed you. I'm especially glad to be back to see you. The Bible story that Miss Mary just read was Jesus talking about prayer and how to pray. Did you know that there are as many ways to pray as there are people in the world? Sometimes I like to pray with my hands folded and my eyes closed and my head down, because that helps me quiet my hands and quiet my mind and try to just be with God. Sometimes I like to walk and talk to God and imagine that God is just walking alongside of me and talking to me like a friend. Sometimes I like to stand up and praise God and pray to God that way. Sometimes I just sit really quietly and imagine that God is holding me in God's lap. There are all sorts of different ways to pray, and all different names for God. In this prayer that Jesus offered, God called Jesus Father. There are other places in the Bible where God is called interesting words like Adonai and Yahweh. Sometimes God is compared to a mother hen who gathers all of her babies under her. So many different ways to pray. But the most important thing about prayer is it's spending time with God and just being in relationship with God. God loves us so much and just wants to spend time with us. So the next time you pray, remember that God is waiting for you with love and is so happy to spend some time with you. Let's pray together. Maybe today we can fold our hands, close our eyes, and bow our heads. God, we love you so much, and that's why we pray. Because we want to be with you, and we want to be more like you. Thank you so much for loving us no matter what, for always being happy to be with us. We pray, and help us to pray more every day so we can be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Now, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Thanks for listening. One of my heroes of the faith and mentors in ministry was Bishop Robert Spain. Some of you know Bishop Spain. He was my pastor in my formative years, somewhere from 8th grade through the early years of college. My preaching is shaped by Bishop Spain. My understanding of who God is shaped by Bishop Spain. We have remained in touch. He's someone I continue to go to when I have questions about ministry, when I need counsel, when I need a pastor. He wants me to call him Bob, but I just can't get there. The closest I can get is Dr. Spain, because that's what we called him when I was growing up. But he is such a loving, humble man. He is someone who, to me, is so grounded in the love of God. And I imagine he has a very deep and rich life of prayer. In my previous church, I invited Bishop Spain to come and speak at a luncheon for older adults in the church. And I asked him to talk about prayer, partly because I wanted to hear about his prayer life. And so he stood up and he said, the first thing he said was, I don't have the prayer life I wish I had. I wish I knew how to pray. And my jaw dropped. Bishop Spain doesn't know how to pray? And my second thought was, oh, I'm so relieved because I'm not alone. I don't know how you feel, but when it comes to prayer, I pray. I practice all different kinds of prayer. Centering prayer, walking into all the things that I talked about with the kids, and I feel God's presence with me so much of the time, and I've had some amazing, deep experiences of love wash over me when I was praying, but when it comes to down to it, I really don't feel like I have a very rich prayer life. I feel like I've just dipped my toe in the water, and I feel that surely there are so many others who really know how to pray. Even the Apostle Paul wrote it in his letter to the Romans, we do not know how to pray as we ought. Even the greatest saints of the church have expressed that same feeling. Thank goodness for Saint Ignatius, who said, even the desire to pray is already prayer, offering us grace once again. But if you feel that way, or if you've ever felt that way, then you can gather around Jesus in this text along with his disciples, because his disciples want to know how to pray. They don't feel that they know how to pray. They see Jesus going off by himself regularly for hours, sometimes days, to pray and to commune with God. Maybe sometimes those disciples or some of them were around, maybe they weren't. But they knew that Jesus was grounded in this relationship and this ongoing conversation with God. And so one day they finally said, Jesus, teach us to pray. We want to have what you have. Teach us to pray. Jesus' response is sort of a three-part response. It comes in three waves, and there is so much in this text. Once again, I find myself barely being able to scratch the surface. So I would encourage you in your own time to ponder these verses and what it teaches you about prayer. But I want to just look at these three movements of his response and see what he's trying to tell us about the nature of God. And what he's trying to tell us about our response to God in prayer. In the first wave of response, Jesus does something he rarely ever does. He answers the question directly. Usually someone asks him a question and he'll say, there was a man who had two sons, or there was a woman who lost a coin. And like, okay, we got to really... But in this case, they say, teach us to pray. And he says, when you pray, say this. Okay. Here we go. Now, Luke's version of this prayer is shorter than Matthew's or others. It's certainly shorter than the prayer we pray every week that we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's the heart of it. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and so forth. He gives them a prayer to pray. What a tremendous gift. And what does this prayer tell us about the nature of God? The first word gives us an enormous clue, a prism through which to look at prayer. Jesus calls God Father. Now, I don't think Jesus is trying to put God in a box to say God is male, or that God only wants to be called by this name. There are so many names used for God throughout the scriptures. What I think Jesus is trying to do is to teach his disciples and us that prayer is all about relationship. The word for father that he uses is not the simple noun saying, as we would say, well, there's a father over there. It's a name. It's a designation, Abba. It's what a child would call their father. And I think Jesus is trying to teach us that when it comes to prayer, it is a relationship of love and unconditional love and grace and provision. I know this word, father, can be a stumbling block for many, partly because it's specifically masculine, but partly because there are lots of folks who have problematic relationships with their own earthly fathers. And so to think of God as a father can be a really hard thing. And so Jesus, in using this word, is not saying much about earthly fathers, but he's saying if there are good earthly fathers that you can bring to mind, how much more does God love you? Let me back up a little bit. Jesus uses this rhetorical device, and I know it has a name, but I don't know what the name for it is at this moment. But it's that sort of how much more device that he uses. And when he's talking about the word father or the idea of an earthly parent, he talks at the end of the passage to all the parents in the audience. He says, for those of you who are parents, if you love your children and your child comes to you and asks for a fish, would you give them a snake? If they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? And so if you, earthly fathers and mothers, earthly parents, if you love your kids this much and you know how to bless them, how much more does your earthly parent, does your divine parent, does God the Father, God the divine mother, want to bless God's children? I know how much I love my children. I know, holding your baby this morning, how it felt to hold my own child when they were small enough to be held like that. I know what I would give for the well-being and happiness of my own children. And if I know what that feels like, if this big, how much more does God love me? How much more does God love you? And so the invitation in this first part, this first wave, is not to get locked into this image of father or to any particular word, but to see it as a window, just one way that we can touch into the vastness of God's unconditional love and grace for us. How do you imagine God when you pray? So many of us think of God as way distant, up there somewhere with very little time for us. And yet here Jesus is saying God is right there with unconditional love, ready to embrace us, already embracing us. There's no distance you have to cover to get to God in prayer. After he gives them this prayer, he tells a story. He says, imagine that you have a guest, a surprise guest, who comes in the middle of the night. And so you don't have enough bread. And so you go to your neighbor and you knock on his door and you ask for 3 loaves of bread. And everyone in that audience would have understood the deep value of hospitality. In that culture, you cannot turn someone away because you don't have enough bread. You do everything you can to welcome people into your home and feed them. And so they would have understood that this neighbor is really being a jerk. To refuse to help someone show hospitality, it's really bad behavior. But Jesus says, even if your neighbor's a jerk and refuses to get out of bed, if nothing else, he'll get out of bed because you're persistent. Bang, 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 bang. If you look on the cover of our bulletin, there's a painting that's entitled The Importunate Neighbor. Persistent, importunate. Sometimes I think God is that way. Deep down, I feel like I've got to bang, 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 bang. I've got to ask. I've got to wake God up to make sure God's paying attention to my life. I've got to tell God what I need so God will care about me or about the world. Jesus, once again, is saying, no, no, no. Even if that jerk of a neighbor who doesn't care finally gets up, how much more will God respond to your prayers when God is standing at the door ready for you to knock, when God wants nothing more than to bless you with the kingdom and with the Holy Spirit? So Jesus paints for us this picture of a God who loves us more than we can imagine, who knows us intimately, who is longing for relationship and time with us. So how do we respond to a God like that? One of the clues comes to us in this parable of the persistent neighbor, the importunate neighbor. The Greek word that's used to describe him is actually best translated shameless. We are invited to come before God with no shame. Without any sense that we are unwelcome or unworthy. I just want that to sink in for a minute. No shame. I felt this most deeply when my own child came to me, deeply distressed about something they had done, and they felt so bad about themselves, about who they were. I must be a bad person because I did this. And as a parent who loves my child, I wanted nothing more than that shame to go away. I don't want you to feel shame. Just come to me and tell me and let me hold you. How much more does God respond to us in that way? So God wants us, I believe Jesus is telling us, to come to God with no shame. We may come with guilt about some things we've done. We pray a prayer of confession every Sunday as we gather. And confessing that guilt and receiving forgiveness is part of our relationship with God. But that's different from shame, which is feeling like I am bad. I am not worthy. I am a worm. Jesus also tells his disciples and tells us to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Not because God's reluctant to help us, but because it is in the asking and the seeking and the knocking that doors will be opened, that we are changed. God wants us to ask. God wants us to seek. God wants us to knock. Now, there's no promise we'll get what we ask for. Many of you have experienced the truth of that. But a door is opened. Blessing is given. Grace and strength for the journey is given, whatever the journey is. I can't tell you how many times I have prayed to God for something. And I believe God welcomes that, to lay out before God what I really want. To find that that particular prayer is not granted, but what I receive is more than I could ever have needed or imagined. I was thinking about this week, it was Monday night at camp meeting. I was at my family reunion and camp meeting when I got the news of the death of my friend and colleague, Autura Eason Williams. Many of you in the congregation got the email about her. She's a pastor in the Memphis Conference, a district superintendent, shot and killed in a carjacking in her driveway. And in the immediate moments after hearing that, I had no words. I could not pray. I didn't know what to pray or how to pray. But as the Apostle Paul said, I felt the Holy Spirit groaning with sorrow within my spirit, praying for me. And in the first attempts at prayer, I was angry. I wanted the people who did this caught and brought to justice. I prayed for her family to have comfort. I prayed for our church and the role that she could have played. I lamented. I brought all of those feelings to God. And the more I have prayed about it, the more I have felt lifted beyond some of those immediate concerns and become aware that the young man who killed her was 15 years old, and he too needs grace. He too is a child of God, and I think Arturo would have wanted someone to come alongside him and work to help him be forgiven and redeem his life. I began praying for God's kingdom to come on earth so that things like this don't happen anymore. And that's another gift of these teachings of Jesus. We come to God as we are. We ask for what we ask for. We knock. We seek. We pound on the door. We say, "Give us our daily bread." And then we are lifted up by those prayers eventually as the door opens to say, "Holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done," to tune our hearts to the heart of God so that we have what we need to take the next step on the journey. We have a God who loves us beyond measure, who wants to be in relationship with us, and there is no wrong way to pray. But may these prayer of Jesus and these teachings of Jesus guide us ever more deeply to be people of the kingdom. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. And now, as children of our Abba, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together to proclaim our faith using the affirmation of faith found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers this morning. If you would like to share prayer concerns with our pastoral team, you may do that by going to our website and following the link under Contact Us, or you may fill out one of the gray cards that's in the pew racks in front of you, and you can place those in the offering plate as they come by in a few moments. The beautiful rose on our communion table this morning is to celebrate the birth of Leo Enrique Love, who was born in Nashville on July 5th, to Leslie Gutierrez and Nicholas Love. He is also welcomed by his great-grandmother, Barbara Love. Our thoughts and prayers this morning are with the family of Luke Pryor of Tanner, Alabama, who passed away on June 19th. He is survived by his sister, Patty Davis, and his brother-in-law, Lucian Davis. And then, on Monday, July 18th, the Reverend Dr. Artura Eason-Williams was killed in a senseless act of gun violence in Memphis, Tennessee. Artura was a kind-hearted servant of God with a heart for building the kingdom of God by reaching across racial, socioeconomic, and cultural divides and creating a place for all of God's children in the body of Christ. Many of you will remember Artura because she preached here as our guest preacher this past Palm Sunday. She was a friend to our clergy, to our congregation, and to countless Methodists across our connection. And this morning we pray for her husband, Darrell, and their four children, Ayana, John, Terrence, and Gwendolyn, and their families. And the family has scheduled a viewing on Tuesday, August 2nd from 4 to 8 p.m. at Anthony Funeral Home in West Memphis, Arkansas. And then the funeral will be on Wednesday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Tennessee. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of inviting and embracing love, once again you welcome us into prayer for our world, for our communities, for our family and friends, and for ourselves. Today, through the words of Jesus, we receive guidance for our praying. And today we ask that you would give us the courage and boldness to pray as Jesus taught us, so that our lives might be living testaments to your grace in the world. Good and giving God, we confess that sometimes prayer confuses us. We are not sure if it's about what we come to say to you or what you want to say to us. We are not sure if we should ask for what we want or humble ourselves in reserved presence. We marvel at the times it seems that our prayers are answered in amazing ways, and we are troubled when it seems our prayers have little effect or purpose. But today, we pray to be reminded of the truly transformational power of prayer and the fact that it is actually all of these things and more. Today, help us see and understand that prayer, above all else, is boldly daring to step into your presence. But most importantly, help us know that we are called to lean on you and our trust in you, for we never fully understand. We see through a glass dimly, and yet you accompany us, you hold us, and you love us in it and through it all. So today, we confidently lift our prayers to you. We lift up all who are struggling in body or mind or spirit this day. We pray for all who mourn or lament. And we most especially pray for the many people throughout our United Methodist Conference who continue to mourn the loss of our friend, Reverend Dr. Artura Eason Williams. And once again, we pray for the scourge of gun violence to be brought to an end. And we pray all these things and more as we join our voices together to pray as Jesus did indeed teach us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we come to a time of giving, and we know that everyone has a different financial situation, so we simply ask that you give as you are able and as you feel led. If you're worshiping online, there are ways to give listed in the chat or on the screen. And those of you in person can give that way as well, or in the offering plates. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
That's what prayer is. Our desiring to stay close to God, that God's unconditional love and grace and forgiveness might shape us and flow through us, that we might help God build God's kingdom in this world. Go and build. Go and pray. Amen.